Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit that administers the word. Thank you that the word plus the spirit in perfect balance releases power. And Lord, we are engaged with you. Teach us, manifest yourself in and through us. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. I'm not going to get very far without my trusty iPad. We're going to continue our series this morning on Unshakable. It's an expose on the kingdom of God. I encourage you to take notes, and here's why. The kingdom of God is the central theme of Jesus Christ throughout Scripture. It is the central message of Jesus Christ throughout Scripture. It is the vision of Jesus Christ and his desire to see it manifesting on the earth. And I would say to you, if the greatest man that ever lived, that ever walked this planet, made the kingdom of God his central theme, central message, and his vision, it might be a good idea that the church do the same. Yes. Amen? And we have to be careful that we're not busy, you know, building churches and building our own kingdoms with a little K and building memberships and counting money and all those other things. What's interesting is Jesus said that he would build the church. So if he's building the church, I'm not sure we're the ones that's supposed to be building it. What should we be doing? Well, probably preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, which is what he invited us to do. Let's do some more Bible drill. Matthew 4:23. Jesus went about all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all kinds of sickness and disease among the people. Matthew 9:35, Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Why is healing such a demonstration when the kingdom of God is preached? Because the kingdom of God is health. Every human being is made to be governed by the Spirit of God. The fruit of that Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. All that sounds healthy. Amen? All that is very healthy. So he would declare that the Spirit of God is in town, the rule of God is here, and then he would demonstrate its authority, that God has more power than the devil. Matthew 12:28, here it is. If I drive out demons, he said, by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. How does the kingdom of God come upon us? By the Spirit of God. By the Spirit of God, the kingdom of God comes. That's why churches have to throw their heart doors wide open to the Holy Spirit. And we can indoctrinate ourselves and end up euthanizing ourselves with information if we're void of the Spirit. Charles Spurgeon said it's better to close the doors, write Ichabod on the door, because a church without the Spirit of God is more of a curse than a blessing. Matthew 24:14, and Jesus said, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. Then the end will come. So by preaching the kingdom, declaring the kingdom, we hasten the second coming. I don't spend a lot of time trying to figure out who the Antichrist is. I'm preaching the gospel of his first coming. Amen. And inviting everybody that's on the planet to get under the rule of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Six of you got it. Hallelujah. And then in Luke chapter 10, verse 8, whatever city you enter, Jesus said, he's talking to the disciples. He sent the 70 out two by two. When you go and they receive you, eat what's set before you, heal the sick there, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come to your town. But whatever city you enter and they don't receive you, go into the streets and say, the very dust of your city which clings to us, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God came near to you. But I say to you, it'll be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Folks, it's serious business when you're talking about the announcing and the arrival of the kingdom of God. The Spirit of God is in town. So you're either going to be ruled by him or be ruled by the enemy. Simple as that. Serious business. Luke 10, verse 17, the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. We've been seeing some of that. We've been seeing the devil take a beating. That's what he's seeing in the spiritual realm, that the prince of the power of the air over these certain cities was coming crashing down. and freedom and liberty was coming to those towns. Why? Because where the Spirit of the Lord is lording, there's liberty for human beings. Where the enemy is lording, there's bondage, slavery, all those things. Things we don't like. And then he says, behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over a little bit of the power of the enemy. Just a little. No, he said over all the power of the enemy. He didn't even have any power. He has no authority over you because Christ has all authority in heaven and in earth. If he has all, how much does somebody else have? None. He has all of it. The devil has no power but to deceive you. It's like walking into 7-Eleven with your finger in your coat pocket and hoping the guy believes your lie. Right? That's the only tool the enemy has, is to deceive you. Amen. So you have power over all the power of the enemy, or authority, excuse me, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, don't rejoice in this that the demons are subject to you. Rejoice because God knows your name. He wrote your name in his book. Rejoice that God is personal, that he loves you. Hallelujah. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit. That word rejoice is number 21 in your Strong's. He leaped up and down. He spun around rejoicing, full of the Spirit and joy. Isn't that something? Jesus is not frozen chosen. He's jumping up and down rejoicing. And it's even better because it doesn't say he did that when he drove out the demons. He did it when his kids did it. So you think he's on the edge of his seat right now waiting for the people of Grace Church to go out and deal the devil some damaging blows? I think he is. I think he is. And when we see cancer go and depression go and back pain go, I think he steps up out of his throne, stands up, and begins to worship God. Say, Dad, look at him go. He probably not only stands up out of his chair, he probably starts jumping up and down, rejoicing in the Spirit and in joy. I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you've hidden these things from the wise and prudent, but you reveal them to the childlike, to the babes. Verse 23, then he turned to his disciples privately and said, blessed are the eyes which see what you're seeing. Oh, hallelujah. For I tell you, many prophets, many kings have desired to see the kingdom come into manifestation. They've not seen it. And to hear what you hear, they didn't hear it. But it's upon us, boys. It's upon us. Somebody give God praise in this house. Glory to God. Wow. Now, why'd we pour over all those? Because the question is, if Christ is building the church, what should we be doing? Clearly, we shouldn't be building the church. I think we should be dealing the devil damaging blows. We should be declaring and demonstrating that God's Spirit is in town. And isn't it interesting? We have a lot of new people have been coming here recently, and the number one thing you hear them say is, God's Spirit is here. Isn't that interesting? Kind of draws a crowd, doesn't it? Why? Human beings are made for the Spirit of God. Where he's lording, there's liberty and freedom. Who wants to be enslaved by religion anymore? I don't. Hallelujah. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. So what if the church, instead of offering Baptist, Pentecostal, or Catholic choices, offered the power, the presence, and the person of Jesus Christ? What if the church quit offering different types of denominational beliefs and started offering the person of Jesus himself in his power and his presence? Come on, somebody. What if the church, instead of offering heaven one day, began to offer Jesus as Lord right now in the imperative present tense? What if he doesn't want to wait till you're dead and in heaven to be the Lord of your heart? What if he wants to lord you right now, every day of the week? What if he wants you to fall in love with him here on earth, not just in heaven one day? Come on, somebody. Amen. Woo! Hallelujah. We're going to have to bring the band back here in just a second. What if the church, instead of offering all those other things, heaven one day, or different choices of belief systems, what if we were saying you can know and walk in the love of your heavenly Father right now? You can know his love. You can know heaven's joy now. You can know heaven's peace now. You can know heaven's forgiveness right now. If you want to be irrelevant, you've got a friend whose daughter is sick. If you want to make the church irrelevant, just say, well, at least she won't be sick in heaven. You just made yourself irrelevant. You think that mama wants her daughter made well right then? Absolutely. So we're going to pray. And then we don't forget that we're not rejoicing because sickness is subject to us. We're rejoicing because God is personal. And the whole reason he's healed your daughter is because Jesus knows you and he wants you to know him. That's why he did it. That's why he did it. That you'd know him and walk with him every day of your life on the earth. The shooting match, the goal of Christianity is that you would know God and know Jesus Christ. It's not healing. It's not power. It's not demons are subject to us. It's that you would know God even as you're known. Come on, in the house of God. Woo! Glory to God. If we began to announce and declare that, we would see a whole lot of freedom in human beings, because the Lord is the Spirit. Where he lords, there's liberty. John 8:32, Jesus said, if you'll know the truth will set you free. Jesus called the Holy Spirit the Spirit of truth in John chapter 14. We're going to read that here in a little bit. So where the Spirit is allowed to rule and reign, there's liberty and freedom. Now, this is all in direct contrast to much of the teaching which we all heard growing up focused on going to heaven. I'm totally fine with us going to heaven. When we're dead, right? Absent from the body, present from the Lord. That's going to be great. Amen? Yeah. But I'm telling you, that was not Jesus' central message. Yeah. The central message wasn't sign a card, join a church, get old, and when you're dead, go to heaven. I'll be waiting on you there. He said, heaven has come here. Repent because the kingdom of heaven has invaded in the person of a son in a manger. Glory to God. By the Holy Spirit. Remember when Mary, Gabriel, he came to her and said, you found favor with God. You're going to bring forth Jesus Christ. There'll be no end to his rule because he's a king. She said a very valid question. How is this going to happen? And he said, quote, the Holy Spirit will come. The Holy Spirit is the executive producer of the kingdom of God on the earth. He makes it happen. Conceived Jesus Christ in the womb of Mary. Conceived Jesus Christ in the womb of your heart. Empowered her for a supernatural birth to reveal the Son of God. Empowers you to reveal Jesus Christ the same way. That when people see you, they see him. My goodness. I'm glad I wore my running shoes today. Let me throw a few songs at you. How about when we all get to heaven? When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that'll be. Well, what are we going to do until then? When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. I met with Risa Davis this week. She told me she's already seen Jesus. He's appeared to her. Jesus appeared to me by the Spirit when I was 20 years old. Well, I've already seen him. I'm not waiting till I'm in heaven to see Jesus. I've seen him now. Now, I didn't see him physically, but I see the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And if you're trying to tell me the Spirit of Jesus Christ is not running all over the earth revealing himself to people, I think you're mistaken. There's Muslims right now getting saved because Jesus is showing up and saying, why are you persecuting me? Everybody say, by the Spirit. How about this one? I like I'll Fly Away. That's a pretty good song. But the first line of it is, some glad morning when my life is over. Well, now, if your best day is when your life is over, you got serious problems. Amen? I have some glad mornings here and now. Because the power of the Holy Spirit, the joy of heaven, has entered my heart. So I can experience heaven's joy now. How about another one? Let's see. Everybody will be happy over there. And here I'm telling you that what is over there came over here. That's the gospel Jesus preached. That the power, person, and presence of Jesus, the King of heaven, invaded the earth. Who wants to sit around and watch TV and say, well, look what the world is coming to. We need to rise up and say, look who has come into the world. Jesus Christ has come by the Holy Spirit and been conceived in my heart. Empowered me to deal the devil damaging blows. Hallelujah. Come on, praise break time. We bless you, O great God of heaven. We bless you, Lord. We exalt your name throughout the earth. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered here in the earth realm. Matthew 5:3, Jesus did not say, blessed will you be if you're poor enough to receive the kingdom. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, all of heaven belongs to you. He didn't say, blessed will you be one day. Blessed will you be when you get over there. But hold on until the end, guys. It's going to really stink until then. He said, blessed are you now. Heaven is yours now. If you're poor enough to receive it, if you're childlike, if you're persecuted because of me, all of heaven is yours. Blessed are. Everybody shout, blessed are. Woo, that sounds good. We sound like an army. You know, we sang that Ezekiel 37 song. You know what happened when the Spirit of God breathed on the dry bones? They became an exceedingly great army. Amen. I bet they did some great stuff as an exceedingly great army. I don't think they mailed it in. I don't think they got Ron, oh, God breathed on us. I guess we better take a seat in the pew and wait till heaven. That's not the plan. Touch your neighbor, say it's not the plan. Have you noticed that living the kingdom life and welcoming the Holy Spirit, throwing your heart and the church doors wide open to the Spirit of God, does not exhaust the church, it exhilarates the church. The zeal of God comes to your church. The zeal of God begins consuming you. And Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7 says, the zeal of God will perform the advancing of the kingdom of peace of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. It doesn't exhaust, it exhilarates. As the true church begins to emerge, the one that Jesus Christ is building, not a man, but the one Christ is building, we're going to see deep, intimate relationship with God. And then we're going to see proclamation of his kingdom rule. More outside the church than even in it. That's coming and is now upon us. When the true church begins to emerge, who understands the gospel of the kingdom, the rule of Christ by his Spirit, we're going to have deep intimacy. Yes. Yes. What if he put himself within you so you could know him? What if that is the end goal? Well, out of knowing him, when we go out there, we're going to see more signs and wonders out there than we do in here. Why? Because I know there's hurting people here, but has anybody looked outside lately? There's all kinds of hurting people out there. And aren't we tired of just trying to out-argue the pagans? Aren't we tired of out-politicizing them? Well, I believe this and this is right. You, by God, you better believe this. How about we out-love and out-power them? We demonstrate the kingdom of God is at hand, that the Spirit of God is here. Why are we arguing about politics? Open your hands. May I pray for you? Jesus wants to reveal himself to you. Amen. All that's free of charge, not in my notes. How about this? The kingdom of God might be a plan from God. It's a plan from God, but it's a plan for man. Okay, so God originated it, but who's the plan for? Man and his church, the church of Jesus Christ. So we can't offer the kingdom in modified form, a refuge to escape hell. Or how about this one? The kingdom of heaven is just a reward thrown in after you're dead. You're minimizing the kingdom. You're modifying the kingdom. We can't do that. God doesn't want to wait till you're in heaven to rule your heart. He wants to govern your heart now. Okay, well, how, Pastor Steve, can the kingdom come and manifest in me? How did we see it earlier? By the Holy Spirit. He executively produces the rule of God in your heart. That's how it happens. So the church gets her authority, identity, power, and relevance from the kingdom of God. If we don't, we'll borrow from the culture to be relevant and quickly become a powerless, meaningless slice in a culture that, like salt that's lost its flavor, is good for nothing but to be thrown away. The church gets her identity, her authority, her power, and her relevance from the kingdom of God. A church has to come under the vision and the umbrella of the kingdom. That's the only way she'll have power and the glory of God. Amen? If the church sets herself up as the end to be sought, what's backing her? Well, I guess the church. Well, good luck with that. The church has no power, no glory, no dominion apart from the king and his kingdom. It all comes from him. Touch your neighbor and say, it all comes from him. Now let's talk more about the nature of this kingdom that we belong to, because I don't want it to be an abstract. You need to know the nature of the kingdom that we belong to and that belongs to us. Number one, it's personal and relational. I shared a little bit of this last week, but second service, I didn't get to share any of it. So here's a review. John 17:3, this is eternal life. Jesus said that they would know you, the one and only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Sounds like knowing God and knowing Jesus is fairly important. This is eternal life. Revelation 3:20, Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come." I'll come where? Into him, and will fellowship with him, and he with me. The nature of the kingdom is it's personal, because the kingdom arrived in the person of the king. Who's the greatest person there ever was, comes down here, pays the price, dies for our sin. That's incredible, but he doesn't stop there. Then he takes spirit form and comes to live inside of the temple he just cleansed. That's amazing. That's utterly fantastic. That's why I say about football games, I don't care who your favorite quarterback is, he didn't die for you, and he didn't take spirit form to come live inside of you. Amen. Now, listen to this. I'm going to read this to you. Let's go to Psalm 139, and I want to show you how personal God is. This is NIV here. "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways." Sounds personal. "Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely." Well, Lord, help us. Amen. You got words forming on your tongue. You're like, "Lord, help me. Holy Spirit, rule my tongue right now." "You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me and too lofty for me to even attain." Verse 13, "For you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know you. I know that full well." Isn't this fantastic? He's talking about you here. "My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body, and all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." He knows every one of your day. He knows your end from your beginning. God is personal. God is personal. "How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. If I were to count them, it'd outnumber the grains of sand." And he didn't even say in Israel or Florida. He said grains of sand. "And when I awake, I'm still with you." Too many people believe God has a personal relationship for others and not for us. You need to get rid of that thinking. God is personal to you. How many of us have ever heard the testimony of people who have said, "Jesus either spoke to me, appeared to me in a vision, or from the cross said, if you were the only one, I'd have done this for you." There are countless testimonies of people Christ has conveyed person to person. "If you were the only one on the planet, I'd have done this for you." God is infinitely personal. How about this prophetic word from September of 2015? This came to us from the Lord himself. He said, quote, "I can't have you down or locked into discouragement, for you're my light and salt in this world. My purpose summoned your existence." I'm going to let that bake right there. The Spirit of the Lord said to us, individually and corporately, "My purpose summoned your existence. Would I have made you if you were not carrying something your generation has need of? You are not random. You are not by chance. You are mine." Everybody say personal. All right. Now, let's watch him carry out the plan. Turn to John chapter 14. Woo! I'm not going to try and contain myself when I read this to you. John 14. I wrote New King James. I'm actually using King James right now, but I'll try and translate as best I can, because New King James I've know pretty well. Verse 16, Jesus said, "I'm going to pray to the Father, and he'll give you another comforter or helper or advocate," different versions say, "that he may abide with you
forever.
That he may abide with you till you mess up. Till you do a big piece of stupid. Wait, how about this one? Till you don't feel. If you don't feel like he's there, he's probably not. Your feelings will lie to you. Your emotions are real, but they are not reliable." I just helped somebody. Your emotions are real, but they are not reliable to discern truth. So he's going to abide with you forever. Even the spirit of truth, he's talking to his boys here, to the disciples, even the spirit of truth, there it is. I told you he called the Holy Spirit the spirit of truth. If you know the truth, truth will set you free. Intimate knowing, right? John 17:3, know God, know Jesus, intimate knowing. But the spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because they can't see him. This is why God had to beg the church to get out of the boat. We're all sitting safe in the boat. We can feel it and we can see it. We have faith in the boat. And Jesus is saying, come out here with me. Come into my world for a little while, out here in the spirit. So the world doesn't know him because it can't see him, but you know him, for he dwells with you now. And he will be where? In you. Now, why would Jesus say the Spirit is with you now? Because the Spirit is in him. Yeah. Conceived by the Holy Spirit as the Son of God in Mary's womb and then empowered by the same Holy Spirit when he came up out of the water in Matthew chapter 3. Yeah. How about this one? Verse 18, he shifts the narrative. So he says, I'm going to pray for you. God's going to send you a comfort. He's going to send you a helper. He's going to send the Holy Spirit to you. And he'll be with you forever and he's going to be inside you. Look at verse 18. Then he shifts it and says, I'll not leave you as orphans. I will come to you.
Yes. Yes.
Huh. Who's coming in the Holy Ghost then? Who's coming? Who's coming? Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. I'm not going to leave you as orphans, boys. I'm coming to you. The same spirit that raised me from the dead is going to take up residence on the inside of you. Oh my goodness. And just like you saw me deal the devil damaging blows, we're going to multiply this thing and we're going to have sons of God all over the planet evicting the devil, serving him his papers in every city you go into. Look out, devil, because the kingdom of God has come to Choctaw, Oklahoma. We've got a kingdom outpost here in Choctaw, Oklahoma. Verse 19, yet a little while and the world won't see me anymore, but you'll see me. Amen. Hold on now. You're going to see me. I thought I had to wait to get to heaven before I could see Jesus. That's what the song said. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. But he just said, you're going to see me even though the world won't. Because we're going to see him by the Spirit. Oh, yeah. You've got a set of eyes in your physical head. You've got a set of eyes in your spirit, man. You have the mind of Christ in your spirit, man. Woo, thank you, Sister Norma. Look what he says. The world won't see him anymore, but you will see me. And because I live, you're going to live. Because I live, you're going to live. At that day, or in that day, verse 20. Okay, what day is he talking about? In the day the Holy Spirit gets sent to you. In the day that I just said, I won't leave you fatherless. I will come to you. In that day, you'll know that I'm in my Father, you're in me, and I'm in you. Oh my goodness. Who's coming in the Holy Spirit? The King of Heaven is coming. The nature of the kingdom of God is it's ultimately personal because the King of Heaven himself comes to live inside of you. And just hold on. Boy, you don't know how hard it is to not get ahead of myself. In that day, you'll know I'm in my Father, you're in me, and I'm in you. And he that has my commands, he keeps them. He it is that loves me. And he who loves me shall be loved by my Father. And I'll love him, and I will show myself to him. What happens with a church who actually can see Jesus Christ and hear him and commune with him by the Spirit? What happens? The devil loses. That's what happens. Intimacy explodes. Wow.
Wow. Yeah.
So I'm going to say again, you don't have to wait to go to heaven to see Jesus because he can show himself to you by the Spirit.
Yeah.
Well, how do I do it? Well, how about close your eyes and be still for a moment and pray a simple prayer. Lord, would you show yourself to me even as you said in John 14:21, because you cannot lie.
Yes. Oh, my goodness.
That's simple. Don't look with your physical eyes. Look with your heart. Verse 22, Judas said to him, not Iscariot, Lord, how in the world? I love the disciples because until the Holy Ghost comes, they know nothing. Jesus speaks God. He's not speaking Aramaic. He's speaking spirit, okay? And human beings are speaking carnal. We're speaking man. He's speaking God. So all the time, the boys are like, we have no idea what he's saying. Why? Because you can't know the things of God apart from the Spirit of God. They're spiritually discerned. Did they have the Holy Spirit yet? No, they did not. So to them, it's mush mouth. They don't even know what he's saying. Charlie Brown teacher. Judas, not Iscariot, said, how are you going to show yourself and manifest yourself to us, but not to the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man loves me, he'll keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. Oh, my goodness. Did you see that? The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all coming to live on the inside of you. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all coming to live on the inside of you. And what was your problem again? What was your issue again? The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are coming to live on the inside of you. Oh, my goodness. Somebody ought to give God praise in this house. Woo! We celebrate you, Lord. The devil is a liar. He is a liar. He is a liar. He's a toothless enemy. He's got nothing on us. My goodness, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have come on the inside of us to live. And can I say to you, I reckon it's probably to tell us a little bit of who they are. Why are they interested in you knowing who they are? So much so, they'd eradicate your sin issue and move in and make their house in you. Why? Why would they do that? So you could know them. So you could know them. Your birthing, when you got born again, was just a means to an end. The whole reason you got born again is because the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit want to start telling you who they are. So you can know them even as you're known. Need a good example? When you were born in the natural realm, you did not know your parents. Can I get a witness? But did they know you? Yes, they did. They birthed you. They know you. God knows you, and your birthing was just the beginning of a journey of what is most important, and that is to know Father, know Son, and know Holy Spirit. Give Him praise in the house of God. Woo! Glory to God. God is your daddy. You can't get more personal than that. Matthew 6:9, Jesus introduces a prayer. Start by saying, our Father. You can't get more personal than that. God is your daddy. He's coming to live inside of you. And I'm coming with Him. And the Holy Spirit's going to do it as well. My goodness. Incredible. You know, if we would just utilize Matthew 6:9, it is the eternal uniter. What's the church done? We tried to unite around denomination and doctrine and what do you believe about God? That's how we're going to have fellowship. No, how about we fellowship around our dad? Yes. Yes. Our Father is the consummate unifier. Amen. If Terry and I just sit down for coffee and say, our Father, we have a bond. It kills everything else. Yes. Do you see it? We're not uniting around what we believe. We're uniting around on whom we believe and on whom has come in to teach us right doctrine. Yeah. So we walk by the unity of spirit until we come to the unity of the faith. It's just like fallen man, though, to say, well, we've got to rally around what we believe and what we know about God. Can I get a witness? There's nobody in this room or on the planet in the way of a human being that has all perfect theology and knowledge of who God is. No, we don't. Why would we unify around that then? We have to unify around our Father. The unity of the Spirit, Ephesians 4:13 says. Boy, isn't this good news? So your heavenly Father conceives you by the Holy Spirit, by supernatural seed, 1 Peter, born again by an incorruptible seed in your heart, the Word of God, and that begins what is most important, and that is you knowing Him. Salvation is not the end game. Salvation is not the end game. Somebody signing a card is not the goal. How many people got water baptized in 2017 is not the goal. How many people know the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit intimately and triumphantly in their heart? That's what's most important. Salvation was just the beginning of that journey. We don't stop at salvation. It'd be no different than Stacy and I having a baby at the hospital, leaving it there and saying, we'll see you later. Yay, we had a baby. Discipleship is about knowing God in a personal way. That's why Jesus said it's not about the miracles. It's not about Satan falling from heaven like lightning. It's God knows your name. It's always been about knowing God, knowing Christ, and knowing the Holy Spirit. Matthew 7:21, Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. They'll say to me, did we not drive out demons? Did we not prophesy? Didn't we do all these miracles in your name? And he'll say, depart from me, I never... Say it again. Depart from me, I never knew you. What's the goal then? Knowing God. And the beautiful part is, he comes inside, because you can't know him without him. You see the plan, it's a beautiful plan. He comes inside, and then in that intimate union and knowing, it's no different than talking about your best friend or your spouse. Why? Because you know him. Somebody asked me service, tell me about Stacy. I'll tell you about her. Why? Because I know her. And we've tried to do four laws. We've tried to do evangelism explosion. We've tried to do Romans Road. We've tried to regurgitate information. I think we should be getting to know Christ. And out of him, make him known. Out of intimacy, make him known. The coming of Christ is infinitely personal, to teach and empower you from within to know him, because nobody knows the things of God but the Spirit of God. Let me wrap this up. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Jeremy, you guys can come. Come and save the congregation from this wild man. Have I said yet I'll not apologize for my exuberance, because the subject matter is too infinitely, eternally great and joyful. He's amazing. He's amazing. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. First Corinthians chapter 2, verse... lost my place. I think it's verse 9. I'm going to get there. You watch. All right, here we go. As it's written, eye has not seen, nor has ear heard. Cindy, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, right? Nor has your ear heard. Neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Everybody stops there and is like, well, okay, I guess we'll never know. Well, read the next verse. Don't stop there. Verse 10, but God. Everybody say, but God. God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. When the Holy Spirit came in, Jesus Christ came in, God the Father's Spirit came in. There to teach you so you could know him. Because I'll say it again, you'd never know God apart from God's help. It was never going to happen. That's why Christianity is not the imitation of Jesus. It is the indwelling of Jesus Christ himself. There to teach you, comfort you, help you, guide you into all truth. Testifies of Jesus. The Holy Spirit does. Verse 11. Oh, wait, I'm not even there yet. Verse 11. For what man knows the things of a man except the Spirit of God, Spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the things of God, nobody knows but the Spirit of God. Nobody knows the things of God but the Spirit of God. And now we have received. Did you earn it? Did you deserve it? No, you just received it. Now we've received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit that's from God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us by God. Do you know the Holy Spirit's inside you to show you everything that's already yours? You can quit working for all the things of God because they're already yours in Christ. When Christ came in you to live, what did you not get? If you're working for forgiveness, you're too late. If he lives in you, you're forgiven. If you're working for love, you're too late. If he lives in you, you're already loved. If you're working for righteousness, you're too late. You're already righteous, or he wouldn't be living in you. He is your righteousness. Woo. Verse 14, but the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him. He can't know them because they're spiritually discerned. The coming of the kingdom brought the coming of the Holy Spirit. And then by the Spirit, Jesus Christ himself, the Father Spirit, enter you there to do what? To teach you who they are. Personal intimacy with God. Will you stand with me? Amen. Amen. We're not talking about Christian education here. We're not talking about learning about Jesus. Learning from Jesus, who he is, and to be like him. Learning from him to be like him. Make sense? All right, lift your hands up in the air. Holy Spirit is here. Father God, we thank you this morning for the coming and the subsequent indwelling of the Holy Spirit and the very Spirit of Christ himself, who said, I'll not leave you as orphans, I'll come to you. And we thank you, Father, for just a fresh baptism, a fresh fullness, a fresh radiance of your Spirit. Lord, enduing us with power, power to know who you are, power to discover intimacy, power to know our identity, power to never try to control everyone and everything ever again, power to trust you. We thank you, Father, for the power to love our enemies, power to overcome evil with good, power to live above our circumstances, not beneath them. And Lord, I bless this congregation this morning and all those worshiping online. And thank you, Lord, for your indwelling life, power, and spirit. In the mighty name of Jesus. Come on, everybody said. Amen. Let's sing it. Come on, let's sing it. The king of my heart. The king of my heart. He is.
You've been listening to Grace Church, advancing God's kingdom, one heart at a time. For more, visit us online at gracechurch.com.